You all right? You need some help? All right, call 911. All right, relax. We're gonna help you out. Does your car run? Does your car run? Okay. What I want you to do is I want you to pull it into this parking lot right here. Okay. I'm gonna block traffic. Just come around this way. Just follow me. It's okay. Just follow me. Just pull it right into this parking lot here and park, okay? We got some help coming, okay? Just relax.
It is a kind of snowmobile.
Right, go ahead and pull into the parking lot and just park for me. Just park. Just stay there. All right, put the cross down. Okay, we've got some help coming, okay? We've got some help coming. Okay. Okay.
I was trying to get these. You're going to have to come bail Dawn out of jail because I just pulled.
I don't think that it's going to turn into 26.
So I heard you quoting out of Jeremiah when I got into the car. Did you grow up in the church?
I grew up in the church in the beginning.
Yeah.
I'm not a sugarcoater, so I'm not gonna.
Neither am I.
I went to church like my whole life.
Sure. Okay.
I did lose my way for many years, and this year was my year where I felt like it was necessary for me to get back in the church and get back into God because basically my life has been total chaos without Him.
Hmm. Kiki, that obviously that was a very intense situation there at the, you know, in the middle of the street, and it was really, really close to, you know, the car behind you rear-ending you, and I am so glad that everything worked out and you're safe, Dawn's safe. Hopefully, Dawn will sober up and feel better, and you know, remember enough of what happened to realize the things she did wrong and what have you, and that the two of you will be able to work things out. But what, Dawn, what if things didn't go that way today, and something tragic happened in that intersection, and you lost your life? Where would you go?
Honestly?
Yeah. And don't sugarcoat it. Where would you go? Things there. Have you ever been in a courtroom before, Kiki?
No, sir.
Oh, okay. All right. So let's say things didn't work out the way they did today, and they ended up arresting both you and Dawn for mutual assault, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
And it all has to be worked out in the courts and what have you. And in the end, the judge finds you guilty of assault. I'm not saying you are guilty, okay? But just to paint a picture.
Mm-hmm.
So the judge determines that you're guilty of assault. And the judge asks, Kiki, what do you have to say for yourself? And you say, Your Honor, I know what I did was wrong. I'm really sorry. I got angry. I'm going to try to never do it again. And so because I'm really sorry and because I'm begging for forgiveness, I think you ought to just let me go. Is the judge going to let you go? No, no. He might appreciate your remorse. He might appreciate your promise to never do it again. But if he's a good judge, he has to follow the requirements of the law. A law was violated. You violated it in our story. You violated it. And so simply saying you're sorry and begging for forgiveness isn't going to change the fact that you broke the law. Right? Right. So let's say because of what happened out there today that you hit Dawn and she died. Okay? Obviously that didn't happen. But you hit Dawn and she died.
Hypothetically,
right. And so the judge in turn sentences you to death. Same thing. Judge, I'm really sorry. I was angry, but I know I shouldn't have done that. I'm really sorry. I think you ought to forgive me and let me go. Judge can't let you go. And the judge says, Kiki, I sentence you to death for this crime. But before they're going to take you away to experience the death penalty, the judge who sentenced you to death stands up from behind his bench, takes off those black robes of authority. He steps down and he says, Kiki, I rightly found you guilty, and the just punishment for your crime is death, but I'm going to take your place. And the judge suffers the penalty that you were supposed to suffer, and he sets you free. Would you be allowed to go free?
I wouldn't feel free.
Well, I understand that, but who has the authority to set you free? You are the judge, right? So if the judge sets you free and you say, yeah, I don't like that, I don't think I should be free, is that going to make any difference at all? No, the judge is the authority, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, Kiki, while we ought to have remorse and while we ought to be sorry and while we ought to beg for forgiveness for the sins that we commit, God's not going to set anyone free because they're sorry. Okay. But God has made a way to set us free. And I think you know where I'm going, right? But it's not by being sorry. It's not by cleaning up your act. It's not by turning over a new leaf. He sent His Son to earth in the person of Christ, truly God and truly man and without sin. Lived a perfect life from cradle to grave for some 33 years.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect as God in the flesh, that you and I can't live for 33 seconds. And then even though He never broke God's law, He voluntarily went to that cross, suffered and died a death He did not deserve, to take upon Himself the punishment we rightly deserve for our sins against God. And then He forever defeated sin and death when He rose from the grave. Now, God does expect us to repent of our sin, but not to earn forgiveness. But because we are so thankful for the forgiveness He freely gives through faith in Christ. So, my encouragement to you, Kiki, as your brand new friend, my encouragement to you is what the Apostle Paul encouraged the people in Corinth with. He told them to examine themselves and to test themselves to see if they are even in the faith. Because, Kiki, if you've been putting your trust in your begging for forgiveness, you haven't yet received forgiveness. Because you're putting your hope and your trust in the wrong place. Your hope and your trust has to be in Christ alone for that forgiveness, because He's the only one that sacrificed, made a sacrifice that God the Father will accept. It's not any sacrifice we can make. It's not a jail sentence that we can that we can experience to earn our way out of that prison of hell, it's not by turning over a new leaf. It's not by hoping our good outweighs the bad. It's not Jesus plus anything. It's not Jesus plus getting back into the Bible. It's not Jesus plus getting back into the church. It's not Jesus plus cleaning up my act. The Bible says it's by grace we are saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It's a gift from God, not as a result of works, so that no man may boast. It sounds like, I don't know your mind or your heart, I can only go by what you've told me, but it sounds like you've been trusting in the work of begging for forgiveness, and you haven't been trusting in Christ alone for your salvation. And that's the difference between life and death. Jesus said, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name and do many mighty works in your name, cast out demons in your name? And Jesus said, I will say to them on that day, depart from me, you workers of lawlessness, I never knew you. Because they were trusting in their religion, they were trusting in their works, they were trusting in their own perceived goodness, thinking that that was going to somehow earn them something before God, when Isaiah tells us that all of our good works are like filthy rags to a holy God. The only way we can receive the forgiveness we're seeking is if we turn from our sin and put our trust in Christ alone for our salvation. Do you think you've ever done that? Is there any reason why you wouldn't?
I don't think so.
Okay, all right. Look, there's nothing. We're coming really close here to the house. Have you been here before?